First of all, can I thank William for his very kind words of welcome and invitation to be with you here this morning. It's lovely to be in Brookside and to share what we have been doing as a family. And you'll hear me saying that quite a bit through the service. Yes, the city mission recognised the man as the missionary, but we were called as a family. So it will be very much what we as a family are doing with the Belfast City Mission. Can I thank you as a congregation for your continuing prayerful support and financial support to the City Mission down through many, many years. And I did hear a fact, and it is a fact, that the Ballymena Presbytery, and indeed the congregations of Hochul, are amongst the greatest givers to the work of the Belfast City Mission. So can I thank you for that, and can I continue to commend you to that service that you are doing for the work of Belfast City Mission. It is a privilege to be here. We had our time of prayer this morning, and someone joking said, it's nice to be amongst friends. And that's true, but it's also a bit scary when you're standing amongst so many people that you know. But it is a great privilege, it's a great honour to stand here this morning and to share about the work of Belfast City Mission and specifically what we as a family are doing. As William rightly said, we started our work with the Belfast City Mission on the 1st of July 2015, so we're over a year into the work, and that year has just passed very, very quickly. Where is Mayo Street? Mayo Street is slap-bang heart in the middle of Protestant Ulster, as many people would claim, up the Shankill Road. Just at the very end, there's Lower, Middle and Upper Shankill, where it just joins the Woodvale Park area of Belfast, and Mayo Street is just settled in amongst the streets off the Shankill Road. And around the hall of Mayo Street, which has an existence there for, I think, almost 100 years in some shape or form, there is almost 1,000 houses. So it's a great mission field, a tremendous mission field that we have been called to in that area. But this is a verse that we have taken upon us as a family, and indeed we have that outside our hall up on the board, and which details everything that goes on. And it says, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. And we're reminded in God's word that we can do everything. We can be a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. But if we do not have love, that's what we must love. There's people around the Mayo Street area of Belfast, as well as all the other areas of Belfast. And that's what they need. They need to be shown practical love that we will show, and we'll highlight some of those things that we're doing. But they need to be shown Christian love. They are crying out to be shown that. So that's where Mayo Street, and up in the photograph you can see us there as a family. Cameron is our eldest son. He's 13, his second year at Cambridge House Grammar School, and enjoying his rugby. So I'm hoping that he'll take off the rugby and I can retire early. And there our youngest son is Caleb. He is 8 and he's in P4 at Four Towns Primary School. My wife Lorraine. And I do want, as I always do, I want to pay tribute to my wife Lorraine for the help, the support and everything that she gives for me and she does for me. She is the quiet one, as you will, I'm sure you'll well know, but she's the one that is the brains behind the operation and the brawn, and I give tribute to her this morning. She would have been here with us, but the boys are involved in an act of remembrance in her own congregation this morning. In Mayo Street, there was an established Sunday school, and we praise God that from every Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock to 3:45, we have anything from up to 30 children coming to our Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon. And this is, folks, maybe the only opportunity that these children have to hear the Word of God, the only Christian input that they have into their lives. And many of the children, sadly, they're just shoved out the door just to get out of from under their parents' feet and out beneath parents' hands. But we praise God that we don't really care what reason they're for, but we praise God that those 30 children are coming and they're singing choruses, they're hearing God's word, they're doing activity books, and we are having an input into their lives. Will you pray for those children, those dear children, that when you look at them, it just breaks your heart that they have everything that the world maybe has to offer them to a certain extent, but yet they're missing the greatest thing. We pray as God that as a Sunday school that we have an input into those lives, and we have an input through those children into families and into situations that we've been called into do. We decided that we thought that we needed to do something else to reach the children and their parents, and Lorraine come up with the idea of a mums and young ones. And we praise God every Tuesday from 10:30 to 12:00. We have about a dozen mothers, carers, grandmothers who come in into the hall. And of those mothers, there's not one of them have a church contact. No church input. So we praise God that as those children come in with their carers and their mothers and their grandparents, that we can sit down alongside them over a cup of tea, where they, over the last year, they can feel that there's that trust has been built up, that we can talk to them about situations. Indeed, one lady was helping Lorraine with the dishes after one of the mums and young's morning. And she'd said to Lorraine that she was battling with depression. And this was after her mother had passed away. And Lorraine got the opportunity to speak to her and to share with her that God loves her, that God has the ability to help her through that. Not take it away, but help her through it. And this lady said, yes, my doctors wanted me to go to psychologists. My doctors wanted me to go to psychiatrists. My doctor wanted to go to all the specialists of the day. But it was a lovely encouragement for us as a family that this lady was able to say to Lorraine, but I told my doctors, I don't need doctors. I can go to my friends in the mission hall. That's what it's all about, folks, building up relationships, showing them practical Christian love, sitting beside them, crying with them as they cry, laughing with them as they laugh, helping them in whatever way we could and we can. That's what the strap line of the mission was, to help the churchless, the careless, and the poor. And it's not poor only in financial terms, but poor in the eyes of God, poor in having time to sit down beside them. They maybe have no one else that they can share with. But we praise God in a simple way of putting out toys, putting a few bits of toast in a plate, that we have the opportunity to speak to these ladies as they come in. We have a couple of ladies who come in to us from ethnic minorities. And that's a wonderful, that they feel that they can trust us to come in. And it's wonderful that we can share with everybody. We want the hall. The hall is in the community. And we want to be part of that community. We don't want it to be a them on us situation. We want to open the doors and we want to welcome them in. And we praise God that we can do that through the mums and young ones. Will you continue to pray for that? That we will continue to get those opportunities to speak with these mothers. We were sitting the other day and we were talking about Remembrance Sunday coming up and talking about the sacrifice that men made and the sacrifice that Christ made, and how I sat with a grandmother, and there were some children who sat down there with William this morning had more Bible knowledge than that grandmother had. Folks, that's the reality. They are poor, not in monetary terms. They are poor because they don't know the basics of the Bible. That's what we have been called to share with them, to sit down alongside with them and to share and have that opportunity. Continue to pray for the children. Continue to pray for that work. Continue to pray for Lorena as she leads that up. And it's a tremendous, Lorena's getting tremendous opportunities to sit down with women who are going through things that we as men think we know what we're talking about, but we don't. But it's lovely that Lorraine can sit down beside them and show them love and talk to them. On a Wednesday night, we have a kids club, and we praise God that this has worked so well. And we have almost 40 children coming in on a Wednesday night. And it's very simple. We play a few games with them. We have arts and crafts with them. We bring different organizations. We have a Coaching for Christ coming up and sharing with their work And we're having Derek's coming up to us this week with ambassadors to work with the children. And we do thank God for this opportunity. It's very simple. If you have arts and crafts, if you have fun and games with them, if you have a tuck shop, you will bring them in. But central to all that, folks, central to all that is the Word of God. We always share the Word of God with them. And to have that time is important. That time is vital. Yes, it's a youth club, but we don't want it just to be a youth club. It's a kids club where we will always share God's Word with them. And parents are told very clearly at the start of the year when the children come here, so we're not fooling them. We tell their parents clearly we will share God's Word with them. And the greatest need of a child is not to have the latest mod cons and to have all the latest sweeties in a tuck shop or have all the fun and enjoyment. Their greatest need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he say that, suffer the little children to come unto me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Will you pray for that? Will you pray for helpers? Almost don't know whether I should say this, but we are in great need for helpers, for leaders. And can you pray that God will raise up people who maybe work in the local churches and who may wish that would like to come and help us? Maybe. Can't say it's a Wednesday night, you can take away from your midweek. No, I can't say that. But if you know of anybody that may be up in university in Belfast and would feel that they could come down for a couple of hours on a Wednesday evening to help us and that, will you make that known unto them and get them to contact me? This is a wonderful work. Just this year, we split the age groups. We used to have the whole 40 coming together. That was testing for your faith and your patience and for the grey hairs. But we split it from P1s to P3s and P4s to P7s for an hour each. And it's just lovely to be able to sit down beside those children and to speak to them. Maybe many of their parents have very little time to spend with them. Many of them come from broken homes. Many of them come from dark and difficult situations. But it's lovely that we can sit down and they can sit beside us and they trust us to share things with us. One little boy spoke to us last week and said, "My daddy's in hospital, Paul." I said, "I'm very sorry to hear that." He had a stroke, a man in his late 30s had a stroke. And that little boy, his little tears coming down his cheeks. And I said, "Would you like me to go and visit your daddy?" He says, "Can I ask my mummy first?" There's a man that knows his place. I says, "You go and do that. I would love to go and speak to him." And I was leaving a house where I was visiting a lady the other day, and the kids were off school, and the wee boy bounced out his door, "Are you coming to see me?" And I went up, and I didn't get in to see his mother, but his mother's not well as well. And those two little, his older sister and that little boy, Matthew and Georgia, who just are crying out for someone to help them. But you know what was humbling? I was coming out the door, it was a shout out to his mother, and the little boy said to me, "Paul, before you go, would you pray with me?" Little boy is 6. I wonder, folks, do we have that same desire, that same burden to pray? That little boy in some simple childlike faith knew that prayer was going to make a difference to his life. All these things that we do in our hall, they are a means to reach the people. But it's only through prayer. It's only on our knees praying that we will ever reach those children, that God's word will ever find an entrance into their hearts. We have in our own hall, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting on a Thursday night. We have our time of prayer, first of all, and then we have our Bible study. And then our Sunday evening service, we have it at 6 o'clock. Now, the City Mission, the services would tend to be at 7 o'clock, but we felt we would try and change it to 6 o'clock to try and encourage younger families so they could come, and then the children could still get home for bedtime. Will you pray for that? It just hasn't worked, folks. And we pray for patience and understanding that God will bring the families in. And we as I say, we on the Sunday night, we have our faithful 14 to 15 folk who come faithfully with us and come to our service, come to our prayer and Bible study. Will you pray for our prayer times, our Bible study times, that God will really reach the folks that come to us, and that more people will be encouraged to come in to our morning or to our evening service on a Sunday evening at 6 p.m. From time to time, we thought we need to do something more. We can't just leave it in the summer. So for the last two summers, we have had a summer kids club where for 1 week, it's very much like the holiday Bible clubs that we have here in our own village. And this year, what we done it in two different slots. From 2 to 3:30 in the afternoon, we took the children up to Woodvale Park to the bandstand area. And we played games and had activities with them, and we shared God's word with them. And then in the evening, we brought them down to the hall where we had it more structured. There was the prayers and the Bible, or the Bible readings. There was the memory verses. There was the quiz. There was the story. And it was a delight to have so many of our own young people from our congregation who came down to help us. And we had discussed this with our young people about helping us and to keep that in their thoughts. And that was long before the summer had come around. And how God had moved in that, because we needed more adult help. And there's a couple there from First Portland Old Lorraine's home congregation. And we come down and we had discussed it with the young people. And we had got this message from this couple and saying, we are off that week. They didn't know the week we had planned. We're off a week in the summer. We would like to help you in some way. Could we come up and help you as a family? There was God answering prayer. We needed adult help. And God had answered prayer and brought that family amongst us. 30-odd children coming during the week. And it was wonderful again to invest in those children's lives. And we pray that as our voices are silent after that, God will continue to bring to their memory what they heard. These children need to be saved. These children need to be brought to a knowledge that Jesus Christ loves them and that he wants to be part of their lives. Throughout the year, we had different evangelistic outreach, different things in the hall. Proclaim a choir from our own congregation come up, and we had a service to raise some funds for our Sunday school to take them away to their Sunday school trip in Bangor. And it was wonderful to see the hall so well filled. The way it works, folks, in our hall and many of the halls, when you have anything for the children are taking part. It's the same in our own village. The parents will come. The grannies will come. The friends will come. And it was wonderful at that Proclaim concert. We had a Christmas service for the children in the Sunday school where they took part. Again, the parents came. The grannies came. The friends came. We had a Carlsby candlelight service. And it was wonderful on those occasions to see the hall full of people. And we thank God for the opportunity where the clear gospel message was proclaimed. And we pray that as we do that again this year, we're going to have the children are going to be taking part in Sunday school again. We're going to have our Carlsby candlelight service. We pray that there will be a great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit as the parents and the friends come in. Can you pray for that? Because people are suspicious. They're suspicious when you try to do things and you invite them in. They're wondering what it's all about. I remember when we had the Carlsby candlelight service, because there was candles up the Shankill Road, a girl looked at me, what's this all about, Paul? I says, it's a simple service, but we have candles. Nothing to be concerned or worried. I haven't lost the plot completely. But there is that suspicion, folks. What you have to realize in that area of Mayo Street, we're maybe into second generation who have never set foot in a meeting house. The only time they are in a meeting house of any description is for a wedding or a funeral or something to do with children. Their big claim up the Shankill Road is for God and for Ulster. But they're for neither. They're for neither. That's what we're working against. That's where Stanley is working. We're all working against in the city of Belfast. A great apathy, a great disinterest in the things of God. A warm welcome does await you all. Any time if you're up into Belfast, I'm there 6 days out of 7 up that air. If you want to call in, have a look around the hall. There's plenty of tea and biscuits. Well, you'd be more than welcome any time into the hall. We have a new website there, www.mayostreetbcm.com, where you can see all about the work. You can see all our prayer letters where God has led us over the last 2.5 years since we stepped out in faith, went to the Coaching for Christ Training Academy, and then were called into the work. You can see all about the work. You can see pictures. You can see all what's going on in the work in Belfast. But apart from that, a big part of the work, folks, is around the doors, making yourselves known in the area. I'm affectionately known now just as Pastor Paul. I don't know where that came from, but if they're happy enough calling that, I'm sure it could be called worse up in that area. But it's about getting yourselves known, going to the doors, because folks, gone are the days of the universal church of any description saying, we are here, you come to us. We have to go out into the highways and the byways. We have to go into the streets and visit the homes. I said 1,000 homes, and I would say a big high percentage of those homes do not attend church on a regular occasion. When you pray for the doors, it's hard, it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging. I remember one of the first contacts I had, we had arrived just on our first day, and we were doing a bit of tidying up on the hall. I had nowhere to throw my rubbish, and there was a gentleman over at the local bonfire, because our hall is just looking onto Lanark Way, where the big bonfire is. And I says, boys, do you mind if I throw my rubbish into your bonfire? There's a wee bonfire going. 10:30 in the morning, folks, they were standing at a bonfire drinking. Drink, their heritage, everything has a hold in their life. And their big claim is, in God we trust. And I got talking to them. He said, who are you guys? I work in with the city mission in the hall behind you there. Oh, we went to the Sunday school there. I said, that's great. I says, well, I haven't seen you back. I says, but lovely to have you with us. Oh, no, you wouldn't want us in there. And a boy pulled up his trouser leg and showed me the electronic tag. I said, folks, I said, do you mind asking me what you got that for? He says, yes, I was recycling bottles at a white skip. He was throwing petrol bombs at a Land Rover. And I, you know, we can't have a laugh, folks. And as I says, you know, that there's an alternative to the way you're living. I says, I'm not preaching at you, I'm not judging you. Can I say, see, when you get that tag off, can you make sure you keep it off? And I says, can you make sure that you stick to your curfew? Can you make sure you stick to what the authorities want you to do? But I says, I want to point you to someone that can help you overcome every problem you have, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that's the line came out. Oh, now you're preaching at us, Pastor. Now you're preaching at us. I says, I'm speaking to you out of a heart of love, of concern. A week later, those same gentlemen, we were having our welcome to the hall, and the door was open, and they all walked up past, and they shouted, hello, Pastor Paul, all the best for tonight. I still see some of those gentlemen, and one of them, I asked him his name. My name's Twin. I said, he wasn't going to give me his name. But I see him now. He's now had a little child. And now he comes up now, past the hall, and he sticks out the hand. How are you, Paul? Hope things are going well. I says, well, if you want to know how things are going well, Thomas, I says, you come on in here any Thursday night, any Sunday night, you'd be more than welcome. Another input we had in from the local community, after the kids' club one night, better watch my time, after the kids' club one night, a young gentleman come down and said, Paul, can you help me? I says, I'll try my best. As long as it's not DIY or anything of that, I'll try my best. He says, someone stuck glue in my lock. I can't get in. So I tried to go down. We couldn't get him in. And I says, right, I've got a ladder. And the way it is, the wee narrow street, you have to go in the back. So I got the ladder, put it through a terraced house in this way, that way. Got him in, was just about to climb up the ladder. Was halfway up the ladder with a leg over the wall. And the boy says to me, Paul, the gate opens. But that young man had nothing. His father had died. His mother wasn't living. His sister had taken all the money that his father had left him in his will and left him with nothing. Dealing with drink and with drugs. And I says, I'll come the next morning and I'll take you up to the landlord and we'll get the lock fixed. I came the next morning and the landlord was there. And I says, I'll call back to see you again. He says, well, you couldn't come tomorrow. He says, I have an appointment to go to. I says, I'll come and get you. Wrapped the door the next morning at 10 o'clock. There's no movement. And eventually got him raised. I says, where do you need to go to? He says, I need to go to Laganside Courthouse. Folks, it's about helping in all the simple, small ways. But there's a sad end to that story. I kept in contact with him, tried to get food to him over Christmas from a food bank, and tried to get in contact with him, tried and tried. And I heard after Christmas, that young man was found dead in his bed. Folks, that's the reality of how quickly people can go into a lost eternity. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the reality. We cannot live forever. And I wonder if you were to leave your head in the pillow tonight and you were to wake in the morning, would you have the reality of heaven or would you have the reality of hell? Could tell you many stories about the doors. When you pray for the doors, that we will get opportunities to share the gospel. That's where the work is done, on the doors. And we hope as we build up that trust on the doors and work with them, that they will come in. And as they come in, they will feel welcome. Shared with another young fellow. But God is the God of the present. And he wants you to have a future. And that future has to involve him. And must involve him. Can I thank you as a congregation? Many of you I know do pray for us. As I see you in the village, you ask about our work. You ask us how things are going. Will you continue to pray for us? It's a hard work. It's a tiring work. Can you pray for our boys? Especially because when daddy's going out the door another night, it's very hard when you have those big puppy eyes looking, daddy, will you just stay in with me tonight? Will you pray for our boys? Because I firmly believe this is how the devil can get in to disrupt our work through our family. Can you pray that God will give us patience and understanding, that he will give us that heartfelt burden for those folks, that they will see that we're not just up there just because we have to be, but we're there because God wants us to be and God wants us to invest in their lives. Pray for the children. Pray for the parents. Pray for the doors. Pray for that needy district of the Shankill Road where there is more evangelical meeting houses than anywhere in Europe. But yet, what's the reality? Many of them are either closing or on the verge of closing or they're very, very empty. I want these just for a 5 minutes, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, where it says here, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We know that Jesus didn't only heal, but he taught and he preached. However, he couldn't do his work alone. He needed others to help. He requested that his disciples pray that God would provide the needed workers. It was not long before those same disciples were involved in the ministry of preaching, of teaching and healing. And in the same way, when we pray as he commanded, we will see what he saw, feel what he felt, and do what he did. God will multiply our lives as we share in the great harvest that is already ripe. Folks, it's very easy to pray in a prayer meeting, God, will you raise up the workers? But maybe he's actually looking to you. You're the worker that he wants to raise up. In this story, Jesus has just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He went on in chapters 5 and 6 to teach on different topics. But in chapter 8, we see where he healed many people and performed miracles. But despite this, despite his miracles and his healing, he always preached the gospel. That's what Christ was called, to save sinners. And he told people that they needed to be saved. That's what the city mission is all about. We use all these means of kids' clubs and mums and young ones and Bible studies and Sunday meetings to bring the people in, but it's always with a means to share God's word. Wherever Jesus went, large crowds followed him because he was different. And people wanted to be near him. Many of the people followed him perhaps for their own selfish reasons, but Jesus didn't care. And how do we know? That verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was filled with compassion. I wonder how much compassion do we have for those who are outside the kingdom of God, for those who do not and have not experienced the love of Christ. I wonder, do we have compassion? I wonder, do we have heartfelt burden and concern for the lost? Or do we look at them and say, there's no hope for them? God said that he came to save and save to the uttermost. There's no one outside the reach of God. There's no one outside his reach. And those verses echoed the Old Testament in Ezekiel 34, 5 and 6, where it said, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Those children in Mayo Street, those adults in Mayo Street, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They think they have everything, but they're lost because they're looking to the things of the world for satisfaction. They're looking to their stars and their horoscopes and the magazines for their guidance, but they're not looking to Christ. They claim for God in Ulster, but they know nothing of God because they have experienced that love of God in their heart. They know nothing about Ulster because our forefathers fought for civil and religious liberties so they could have the freedom that we enjoy today to be found in a place of worship. What about us? What about us here today? There's much of what goes on in this village. You could plant what goes on here in this village and put it in the Shankill Road and vice versa, because this village has been blessed with the Word of God, has been blessed with revival power in the past, but there's many homes around here today. Many hearts want nothing to do with Christ. Is your heart burning? Is your heart burdened? Are you full of compassion for those who don't know Jesus Christ? John 10:14 tells us that he came to be the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep, and my sheep know me. I wonder you this morning, are you a sheep without a shepherd? You may know about Christ up here in your head because you went through Sunday school. You attend church, and we thank God that you're here this morning. But I wonder, do you know about the love of Jesus in your heart? Those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, are we content that we're saved? We have a shepherd. We can stand and sing, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. Ere he has loved me, tongue can never tell. But I wonder, are we content that our family, our friends, our neighbors are going to hell in a lost eternity? We're reminded in verse 37 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Folks, there's many people in this village of Ahokel, in this land, in Mayo Street, who want to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ if only people will go and share it with them. I firmly believe that. There's many, I haven't got around all those doors. But there's, behind those doors, there's people who are hurting. There's people who are searching. There's people who are struggling to find what is going on in their lives. And we praise God that Stanley, myself, the other missionaries, have the opportunity to say that Christ is the answer to their every need. Will you pray? This is your part, verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Folks, as I go around many churches, I always say, is there a need within your congregation? We know in many congregations, it's the same people doing everything. Is there a need in this congregation? Is there somewhere in this congregation that needs a worker? A helper? I know William will be only too glad to hear from you. Don't leave it to everybody else. God wants you to be involved in his harvest. We're told in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We have a great message. We have a great hope. We have a great Savior. We have a great God to share with people. We stand and we talk about the weather. We stand and talk about the Premiership football. We stand and talk about everything, and I'm as guilty. But people don't need to know, and I have to get this in, that Liverpool's top of the league. They need to know that Jesus Christ wants to be Lord of their lives. I remember a song when I was younger, People Need the Lord. That was the headline. People need the Lord. And it's not down to the ministers. It's not down to the Kirk sessions as you do their visitations. It's not down to the Sunday school teachers or the youth leaders. It's down to all of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ to speak in season and out of season. We're living in days, folks, where people are turning their back on Christ. And folks, if we don't tell them what they need to hear, people will tell them out there what they don't need to hear. And that's why we reach them as children. That's why we get them at an early age, that God will speak to them. God doesn't need us this morning. You might think that's a strange thing for a Belfast City missionary to be standing and saying. God can accomplish everything he wants to accomplish in this earth by himself, because he's a sovereign Lord, but he wants us to be involved. Are you ready to take up the plough and plough that field for Christ? Are you willing to take up the call? Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What a wonderful promise. That what I do in Mayo Street, what we as a family do in Mayo Street, will not return unto him void. He will make you fishers of men. We pray that the nets, as it did on that day, will be breaking. We pray that children, young people, men and women will crush back into their churches again and hear the word of God. But the challenge is, we all know how the harvest, the physical harvest works. The farmers work hard to get the harvest in, because if the harvest is not brought in, it will perish, it will be destroyed, it will be no good. The challenge is, if the spiritual harvest is not brought in, folks, people are perishing. As we sit here today, folks, there's people who are dying and going to a lost eternity. We need to be praying. Why is it that the prayer meetings are the most difficult meeting to be at and those least attended? Those in the world who are lost without Jesus need to be brought into the safety of the fold. We are all involved in that. How can you do that? You do that with your financial giving. You do that, most importantly, with your prayers, corporately here as a congregation, but privately at home. Do you want to be a harvester? Do you want to be a disciple? Don't just come and leave it there, but follow and be a fisher of men. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, he loves you. We think this morning of the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice that men made for us, and we thank God for them and women. But there's no greater sacrifice than was done over 2,000 years ago when the cross, that center cross, where Jesus Christ didn't die for a nation, he died for a world. He died for a world full of individuals, and that individual is you this morning. Do you want to know Christ? Are you turning your back on him? I plead for you that from this pulpit this morning that you will come to Christ, that you will see your need of Christ, that you will call upon his name and ask for forgiveness. And you come as you are and come to a Savior who will accept you into his family. As I finish the challenge, I've seen this quote. We are to witness as if Jesus died today, was buried yesterday, and is coming back tomorrow. Folks, we live in the days we hear many, many people talking. We're living in the last days. The signs. There will be a falling away in the last days. But I always remind it by a godly Sunday school teacher, and he says, yes, that's true to talk about the second coming of Christ, but Christ is coming at any time. Are you ready for that coming? Are you ready for when Jesus Christ will come again? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for this opportunity that you have given me to share of the work of the Belfast City Mission in Mayo Street. We thank you, dear Lord, for that great work, almost 190 years old next year. For the work and the witness, dear Lord, down through the generations amongst children, young people, families, communities. And we pray, dear Lord, for the continuing work of the Belfast City Mission. We pray, dear Lord, for our president and the governing body and our board of superintendents as they make important decisions about the way forward for the mission. We pray for each missionary and their family. Dear Lord, we pray for their areas in which they serve, that you will give us patience and understanding. You will give us your help and your support in every way. But we pray most importantly, dear, that you will give us souls for your glory, that you will save those who we come in contact with, that you will speak to those we come in contact and they will see their need of a Savior. We just thank you, dear Lord, for that call upon us, dear Lord, that we're to be shepherd to the sheep. We're called to, dear Lord, tell others about Jesus. May those of us who know and love you this morning, may we see that as our call, as our command, as our burden to share others with Christ, to share Christ with others, and that, dear Lord, through that, dear, we will be faithful to your call. And we ask these things in your lovely Savior's name. Amen.